Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening? I'm your host, Bill Brewster. I know I have not been around lately. I am somewhat sorry and also not sorry at all. I recorded this episode to give you a little bit of a sense of what's going through my mind to the extent you're a fan. I think you deserve me to communicate with you. If you are sort of a casual listener, you also deserve for me to communicate with you, but you probably care a little bit less than the fans do, and I don't really take that offensively, and I hope that you stick around and become a fan, and we can have this parasocial relationship, and everything's great. But I don't know. I sat down and ripped this out yesterday. All I can tell you is I got a lot of thoughts. They bounce back and forth. Watching some of the Spirit merger kind of messed me up, some of the reactions to it. And, you know, this is a game for grown adults, and things happen sometimes, and people take losses. And this is truly financial education and entertainment. It is not investment advice. I am not fucking around when I say that. I mean it. And if somebody doesn't understand that, that's on them. But I can't help but internalize it a little bit. Anyway, here are my thoughts. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll chat soon. Okay, bye. Oh, have a great weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, Happy New Year. Welcome to the Business Brew. I am your host, Bill Brewster, here for a bit of a monologue episode. Wanted to communicate with you because I know that we haven't been recording very much lately, and I somewhat apologize for that. And I also want to make sure that when I'm recording, I am both fresh and the guests are interesting and they're topics that I want to talk about. I have thought long and hard about this show, and sometimes it feels a bit schizophrenic when I do, because on one hand, I want the show to grow, and I want you all to be, in the words of David Zaslav, nourished on a regular basis. And on the other hand, I feel like everywhere that we look, there is more and more content, and unless this show has content worth listening to, I don't want to fill it for the sake of filling it. And frankly, booking stuff every single week is not my favorite use of time. And I have had some higher and better uses of time, no offense to the podcast and the fandom, but some of which involved taking care of family, some of which involved managing my own house and keeping that in order. And I have had a bit of time away to think, I guess. And I'm coming back and the show will go on. If I were you, I would not expect a weekly show from me. I hope that you will like and subscribe and keep me in your feed when episodes pop up. I am very grateful that this show has your ear. I'd love to hear from you on how to make it better. You know, one of the things that has been interesting throughout this little journey as a podcaster is I remember when Toby Carlisle invited me on his first podcast, and I said, I have no idea why you'd want to talk to me. And he said, let's do it. It'll be fun. It was a lot of fun. And I was grateful to be on it. I was grateful that it went well. And then he invited me on Value After Hours as host, and that was awesome in the beginning. But one of the things that I did not enjoy particularly was feeling like I had to be in sort of somebody that had the answers. And I think back to the beginning of this show, and part of me listens to how much I talked, and part of me listens to my confidence that I thought I had. And, you know, some of it's the market humbling me. Some of it's just kind of dealing with being public and having a podcast that people listen to. But you know, there's elements of it that I really don't like, and I don't want to force episodes just for the sake of having them. And, you know, one of the things that happened this week that was impossible not to pay attention to was the Spirit merger that did not get approved. And I know that the merger came up in the episode with Jeremy Raper, and people mentioned, there were a few. By the way, everybody that I interacted with acted like a mature adult that, you know, said there were a few that heard about the idea or listened to this podcast in order to beef up their research. They wanted to hear Jeremy's thoughts, and I know I participated in that conversation as well. And I just, you know, it takes me back to my curate days. And I just hope that when I say do your own due diligence and nothing on this podcast is investing advice, I really hope that people listen to that. And I know that a lot of y'all do. But it really sucked to see people say, you know, I listen to so-and-so's podcast. I mean, I'm not naming it, but, you know, Andrew Walker was very public about it. And I think Andrew, how he goes about his work, I think is respectable. And, you know, it's hard not to think about just talking about finance, the consequences that can arise. And it's probably the part that I dislike the most. And it's probably my least lucrative trait, because if I had no shame, I'd probably be a newsletter salesperson, which would stock picker type, which would be awesome. And I could claim that my returns were amazing and never, you know, bury the bad and talk about the good, but I digress. I was reading a book called What I Learned Losing $1 Million, and there's a part of it where the guy in the book says, are you in it for profit or to be a prophet? And to those that listen, I think, you know, 98% of you that I interact with understand this, but I hope that you all understand that the podcast's primary goal is to help me learn and to put ideas out into the world that hopefully get feedback. I don't really want confirmation that people agree with me. I really would like, if you hear anything on this show that you disagree with, to reach out and please say, hey, you know, you're thinking about this wrong, or this, you know, this discussion was not right, and this is why. And I think the tough thing as a host is I want to be agreeable, as you would as in your home, right? And the unfortunate thing about being agreeable is that it can lead down this sort of path of confirmation bias, and it's tough because I'm also like in your ear a lot, and that can engender these feelings of friendship and whatnot. And I think that some people, I don't know if people don't want to reach out sometimes because they don't want to hurt my feelings. I don't know if people want to agree with me because they want me to feel good. I don't know if people agree with me because they think I'm intelligent and what I'm saying. I don't know if people agree with the guests. Like, there's a lot of things that go through my mind as a host. And I think that the world of financial entertainment is better because of podcasts. And I believe in this medium as a form of education, and I will try my best to continue to be a host that facilitates discussion, that educates and informs. I'm also in this position where I'm considering and have allocated some capital to some people, and necessarily want to say who, in part because I don't want that to be, I don't want it to be a blessing if I do something, and I also don't want it to be an affront if I have people on and I haven't invested with them. I feel like, you know, what I do and how I'm going about doing what I'm doing is me, and it's personal. And I think that you all deserve certain disclosures, but I don't know if a blanket disclosure of just assume that I'm talking my book and assume that I've invested with people on the show is sufficient, or I don't know if a specific disclosure when somebody's on is more sufficient. What I do know is I feel like I'm in a more awkward spot than I have been in a long time, because I like a lot of the people that have been on the show, and the decisions that I've made have been specific for specific reasons, and they haven't been a blessing of one person or anything against somebody else. Maybe I'm reading too much into this. Maybe it's because I'm a pleaser. I don't know if it's a product of divorce. I mean, we could go down a rabbit hole, and I'm happy to have a psychologist on. I tend to like that stuff. I don't know if you've listened to me long enough, you know that I like Stern, and the homie Stern loves him some psychology, and I kind of wish that I was him in a way, not the shock jock stuff, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling, but I wanted to say these things, and I wanted you all to know how, you know, what I'm thinking about the pod, and I wanted you all to know that I haven't forgotten about you in these weeks off. I did have an issue where one of my kids got a little hurt, and they're okay, but I was fully focused on that, and any recordings that I was thinking of making went to the wayside. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. You know, I do think there's one interesting little tidbit that I'd kind of like to read, if you would oblige. And you know, let's see here. What are you looking for, Brewster? I don't know what I'm looking for. This is one quote that I enjoyed. If a person approaches a business risk or a risk in the financial markets for excitement, then he is gambling, regardless of how much control he supposedly has over the outcome. Here's another one. The better, right? As in you're going to bet. The better is interested in being right. His ego is on the line. He has a stalwart fealty to a team, a market position, or an opinion. Very often, market analysts are subject to this pitfall. Having expressed an opinion either on market direction or the value of a particular stock, it becomes difficult, if not impossible, to abandon that opinion. The analyst doesn't want to be wrong or look stupid. He wants to be right. He is betting. It's an interesting world, finance, because it's a game where if you talk in certainty and you're right, it can go a long way from a marketing perspective. But I think anyone that's intellectually honest understands how frequently you're wrong even when you think you're right. And perhaps a younger me needed to hear that. And perhaps this is some maturation, or maybe I'm just saying stuff I've thought for a while that I haven't said. But I don't know. It's just been an interesting journey, and I hope you all have liked it. And I appreciate everyone that listens and everyone that's been on the show. I got somebody that's helping me write some show notes and some articles. I may try to write a little something. It's not going to be stock pitchy. It's probably just going to be about the podcast and about my thoughts generally. But I also may not do that, because one thing that I'm really trying to focus on is spending time where it's important. And I need to figure out that equation. And I'm just not sure how the podcast totally fits into it. And That's just the truth. I know it is part of it. But, you know, I don't know that I have 40 episodes a year in me anymore, because I don't know that I'm chasing the same thing. And I don't know that I don't, but I hope that as a fan and as someone that cares about me to the extent you do, that you'll be a little patient with me throughout this. I've probably asked you to be more patient than most hosts, but I tend to go through these bursts of energy where I like to record. And the problem with that is, you know, the back end takes a while to get through. And I'd be lying to myself a little bit if I didn't acknowledge that that time comes with some costs. And I'm not sure that me absorbing those costs, as many of those costs, is the right thing for me anymore. I'm not sure it's not, but this is how inner monologues go for me, by the way. So if you're listening and you're like, this dude is out to lunch, I can understand that. Except I don't really actually mean it. And there I go again. Anyway, folks, I'm not going to keep rambling. I just want to say thank you, and I will try to put out good content. I'm going to keep it coming. I know the week after this, we're going to have a podcast that comes out on sustainable air fuel. It is something that I am interested in. I will be, you know, I am long the stocks, some of them that we talk about. But I am not looking to sell after a podcast comes out. I'm not locking myself up for a year ever again. That was not a fun experience. But I thought it was the right thing to do, and I did it, so I did it. And I don't know. I'll try to figure out my role in this whole thing. And to the extent that you're thoughtful and you care, please reach out to me and help me with some constructive feedback. Tell me what you want to listen to. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to take the pod in the next direction, and think like things about people's research process are interesting. Downside focus, you know, a lot of concentrated investors or whatever. You know, I'd like to discuss the difference between the volatility that you theoretically should be able to live with versus the volatility that people actually can live with versus the volatility that you can actually have running outside capital. I think those are three totally different things for most people. Some are wired different. Some people don't mind a 50% drawdown. Shout out to the legend, Charlie Munger. May you rest in peace, sir. Thank you for the memories. But, you know, those are kind of topics that intrigue me. So until next week, thank you for your patience. I'm recording again. Got a couple episodes in the hoppa. And, well, in the editing hoppa. And we'll get it going again. So thank you. And Happy New Year.